Pew Talk podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Yeah. Let's get ready to rumble. It's the Olympic special of Pew Talk. We're going to be talking all about Olympics and Olympics and all that jazz. And now on with this live show.
Hi.
We are so happy to see you. We're happy to see you with your beautiful hair and your beautiful eyes.
And you.
What's that song?
I don't know.
And you.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to move me.
Okay.
Right.
Bye, Paul.
Here. Maybe it's not me.
Oh. Separate the girls.
Look at how long my arm is, everyone.
It's like Space Jam.
Ooh.
That is Michael Jordan. Very trippy.
Yep.
So
for those of you listening online, Paul just put his video, listening to the podcast later, Paul just put his video screen in between me and Stacy. And yep, that's what you missed.
It's like magic.
Yep.
Your arm just got magic.
Oh, it's magic. Just a little bit magic. What's the name of that band, Goober?
Sunseed?
Nope. Oh, we got an angry face. It was an angry face.
There you go.
Oh, they're angry that you separated us.
Yeah, apparently you are. So. That's all right.
It's probably your mom.
No.
Becky, is it you?
Thanks for looking out for me, Ma.
I don't want an angry face.
All right. How y'all doing?
Good.
Everybody is here this
week. Everybody's here. It's weird to see all like the five. So normally we look at ourselves and we see a little tiny screen. Paul has upgraded that screen to a not little tiny screen. And so I keep like looking over and catching myself.
It's hard not to look at it. Yeah. Try not be distracted.
I'm sorry.
I look it's, like I don't have any hair.
Hello.
It's also like a half a second delayed. So yeah.
Is that driving you crazy?
A little bit.
Do you want me to shut it off?
No.
I'm so vain. Getting it. So we're all here today.
We're all here.
I know.
We're physically.
And we're all like taking our time to get into this.
Yeah, I am.
We missed you. We last week we had Mr. Ed McGinnis on, and Casey and I had a good conversation with him.
Indeed.
Yeah. And we went long because you weren't here to tell us not to.
Yeah.
Anthony and I played dominoes. Yep. What night were we playing?
Thursday?
Long week. Friday.
Friday. Yeah, we were.
Friday. We said, let's listen to the podcast while we play. And we pull it up. An hour and 26 minutes.
Yeah. It's all right. We put it on extra speed.
And
we had a long game and didn't even get halfway done with it. So
yeah. What, the game or the podcast?
The game.
But it was a good discussion.
Game. Yeah, it was very good. So thanks, Ed, for coming on. Really appreciate that. We really enjoyed listening to that discussion and appreciate your perspective that you bring to the conversation. Yep. So thank you.
Yep, and we would love to have him back. I know he would love to come back and hopefully this time we can all interact.
Yeah. There you go.
So, Lacey.
What's up?
How's school prep?
It's very humid in the school.
So
very humid.
Should we get an air conditioner in the gym?
Oh, that'd be fantastic. I think we should.
Yeah.
Is that why it's humid? Because all of the
I have no
heat
idea.
From the gym comes out?
I don't know. I did
unconditioned
press over,
heat.
You know, more ages. So yeah, maybe.
Did it,
I don't know.
It's anybody when they were kids thought it was a human heat.
What?
Human?
Humanity?
Humanity, but humanity?
Yeah, human. Human heat?
Nope.
I thought it, when I was a kid, I mean, I'm just saying human heat. I'm just like, well, that makes sense. We make heat.
Oh.
I know people that say.
Good deductive reasoning.
No. Humid differently. It's not humid.
Humid?
But my mom says, I can't do it.
Humid?
She said,
humid.
Yeah.
Humid?
Almost humid, but not. It's not humid. It's like, I don't know.
Like the,
mom,
the
there,
yeah of the
humid.
Ooh.
It's just
you
different.
Misses with the H.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
We're getting really deep today, y'all.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce humid?
It's like,
do you pronounce it roof or roof?
Humid. Humid.
Creek or
it's
crick?
Humid.
Coupon or coupon. Pop or soda.
Cool whip.
Cool whip.
So how was your vacation, Gerbs?
It was good. It was, Stacey and I love being in the car for a while together with children. So that was fun.
Actually, it wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't. They listened. The second we get in the car, can we listen to a Boxcar Children book? Sure.
What's a Boxcar Children book?
Do you not
know? Why do you look at me like that? Like I'm supposed to know these
things. You should know that.
You should
know.
Why?
They are the mystery books of our childhood.
Yeah. Yes. Did you not read as a child?
Apparently when I was...
They might not have been around when he was a child.
You best they're written in like the 60s. Careful of that comment.
Hold on a second.
Other way. He's on your other side. Oh.
What is...
It's books that we grew up with that our kids... But it's these four kids who... their parents
only in the first book
Parents died and they heard that their grandpa was mean who they were going to live with, so they ran away.
So Lemony Snicket
to start,
not as depressing.
But not nearly as depressing because the grandpa's really nice. And then they just go and for like 150 books, they never age. They're always the same age. And they just go and solve all these random goofy mysteries around the place.
Their grandpa must have a lot of good money because they go on just the sometimes the most exotic places.
Starting in book like 125. That you start to see them every once in a while in school. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's like basically summer vacation for...
Is there really that many books?
Well, isn't that what happens to Phineas and Ferb?
I mean, what?
Phineas and Ferb is 100 and something days of vacation, right?
Oh.
Come on. Sure. So you don't know what that is?
I know what Phineas and Ferb is, but I don't know the 100 and...
It's in the theme song.
Oh, yeah, I don't... Mm. Oh, the music part of the show. I paid attention to that part.
All right.
My kids went through a Phineas and Ferb phase.
We need to wrap this back around here.
Mm-hmm. No, we're not.
If it wasn't with Sunseed, it was just...
Yeah. So, Casey, how was your week since I saw you last week?
You know, it's been good. I've been moving up my workout time with my insurance job. I would work out at noon because that was the best time that tied in with my lunch. But I was like, you know what? That's not a good scheduling choice. So starting last week, I started working out early in the morning. And last week was not my favorite week on the planet.
At 6 o'clock?
Around that time, yeah.
You mean,
you know where you should work out?
You know you're going to join it. Join us right there?
At some point, I probably will. But it's not going to be at least for 80 days.
Hashtag not sponsored. Go on a CrossFit.
CrossFit.
But I started a 90-day workout program, so I'm locked into that.
Here, I know how that gets. So
with Tony Evans?
If you want to join us, Paul and I, and soon Casey, for workout at 6 o'clock in the morning on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at CrossFit Kohana, drop my name, and you'll save me some money. And so that'll be like... Or Paul. We'll see who you like better.
No.
Or Casey.
Help me out. Come on, guys.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Casey, by the way, when you join, I got a card for you.
Yeah.
Noted.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Your first two sessions are free, so come join us. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's going to be leg day tomorrow because we did upper body. Well, some of us did upper body on Monday. So if you want to not be able to walk up and down the stairs for a day, come join us tomorrow.
Oh, dude, sign me up.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the reason I didn't show up for a workout Monday was because I was extremely busy all weekend.
Yes.
So
you did have a very busy
weekend. Paul had a big weekend. What did you do, Paul?
I slept.
What else did you do?
No, this weekend.
Oh, no.
What did we have a fantastic time with?
No, so we had the concert on Friday.
Yeah.
And I was there at 11, setting up in the morning, not at night.
Yep, I saw you.
You were close to 11 at night.
And it went to 11 at night to break down. So I was there for 12 hours. I was sweating for half that time and then sweating for the other half as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was a warm night.
Yeah, it was very, but not as bad during the day when the sun was beating down on me. That was fun. Anyways, I asked Gerber, I was like, hey, because I'm dying here, can I do videos on Sunday? And he's like, nope.
I don't think I said that. Yeah. I said, you know, about that.
He said, no.
No.
And after the service, he said,
what was funny about that whole thing, though, is that because we broke everything down for the concert, so Saturday night I had to come back into the church and set everything back up. Uh-huh. And I still didn't, this was 9 o'clock at night. I was like, I still don't have songs for tomorrow.
And then you didn't pick any songs from the concert.
Yeah, which I didn't. And so I put the songs in.
There's one you did, Child of Love, didn't you?
Well, yeah, we've been doing that song. Yeah. And we did another one, Hold Us Together.
Oh, yeah.
Because I looked at, I did watch your sermon on Saturday night and went, oh, yeah, he's talking about Hold Us Together. But you were like really focusing on the walls that Jesus breaks down between us.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about walls.
Well, here, I got a wall. Can you flip-flop Casey and I here? Because when we look at you, it looks like we look apart from each other. That's better.
I wouldn't see.
Hi, Casey.
There you go. This is the optimum viewing position.
Well, it's funny because we'll sit here and then I see the screen and Casey's head's over here, my head's over. I'm like, we're not even looking in the same direction. I'm like,
yeah, I know.
Sorry, first world the
high
problems here.
High quality.
Can Jesus help?
We're yes. Learning. Well, actually, let's find out. Let's read a little story.
I'm ready. Look at me.
Yep.
Ephesians 2, verse 11 to 22, right? The rest of the chapter. All right. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
There you go. Jesus.
Well, that means we solved all the world's problems, right?
Yep. Peace. Yeah. Good talk, guys.
All right.
I'm out.
See you later.
We're making up for last time we ate up last week.
It's not that we've solved all of the world's problems. Jesus has solved all of the world's problems.
Yeah.
Ow. There you go.
But then why is the world still so... Nope, I already know the answer to this question, so I'll just backtrack on that one.
Because you're a poor, miserable sinner.
Yeah, but let's ask that question, because there might be listeners.
I feel like the world, even if you know Christ as your Savior, the world is still messed up. Mm-hmm. It's all messed up.
Yep, do you know why?
We're all messed up.
Because we're poor, miserable sinners.
Yep.
Or dirty, miserable sinners. Or
poor, miserable sinner works real well. Sinners.
Yep, salt and pepper, black outer.
That's true.
You too, me too. We're all...
I know, but...
And so that's where, like, and I don't plan on going this direction, but like... so often the church, people outside the church see the people inside the church as hypocrites because they're poor, miserable sinners.
Because they do the things that God told, or we do the things that God told us not to do.
Yeah.
We all do that.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we're just poor, miserable sinners. And we proclaim that each and every week, knowing that we need a Savior. So the idea that if you're in the church, you're perfect is a pretty poopy idea. Yeah. Paul's giving me fun looks. No, like I've had these conversations. I remember teaching one of my first years teaching in a school, and I had the students write basically we'd gone over the commandments. Their writing assignment was where is your tendency to break the first commandment? What are your gods? And how can you work towards putting God above them? And I got from one the response of, well, I've been born again, so I don't sin anymore. I went, oh, let's have that conversation. But it's very easy for people outside the church, because there are a number of people inside the church who will claim perfection, to see us as, when we have our fights inside the church, when we have the church scandals, those sorts of things, when people who are Christian do mean things, to say, well, see, that's why I don't want to follow Jesus, because his people are bad people. And we are, but we just proclaim it each Sunday, knowing that we need a Savior. There you go.
Good job.
But don't like revel in your sin.
Well, I think what you're, I think what you're trying to say is, don't say it. Well, I think the part that I really want to try to get across is that we can just say, oh yeah, Jesus all day. But what does that actually mean, Casey? I shouldn't have said that.
What does this mean?
Yeah, well, I guess that apparently that's what
Luther.
Yeah,
Luther.
That's the
Lutheran question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, why is that important in how we act?
Why just ask that as a fuller question?
Okay.
Well, we
sit there and go, okay, Jesus sacrificed himself, so therefore we can be closer to God and basically our sin is forgiven kind of mentality. How does that act then, I want to say, enforces the actions that we need to do? And why is it important that we don't let sin then... Basically say, well, the mentality of, well, I've been born again, therefore I sin no more, it doesn't matter what I do.
Right. Right.
So how does that actually...
So when we are made new, there's this process of... That's called justification. We are made clean, made perfect by God, in a sense. We're made clean. I shouldn't have said made perfect, but we're made clean by God.
So the opposite of that, which means in God's eye, because he's so holy, we were dirty.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you look at justification, you break that down, we justify... It's almost justifying why we should be in heaven. Why should God love us? And, you know, when you justify, like, for anyone who's been pulled over, you know, you justify to the officer, I was going this many over because of this. Of course, you're trying to put yourself, you're trying to explain
why you did what you did.
And when we use the word justification, we're saying we justify why we should be in heaven, why we should be with God. We justify that because Christ died on our behalf. That's justification when Christians use that word.
Yeah, and I think we need to spend 2 seconds, maybe longer than that, explaining what it means to be holy, because have that context of why it's so important that we, because why we're separated from God because he's holy. Yeah. You say those words, but you're like, I don't really understand what that means.
So if you want to dig more, I'm going to just steal a bunch of analogies from the Bible Project. But if you want to really dig deeper into holiness and God's holiness, just go to YouTube, Bible Project, and holy. And the way they, I think they do a great job of giving us a picture of what that looks like. And they talk about God as a picture, like use the sun as a picture for God. And the sun is good, right? It's good. It gives life. But I can't go touch the sun. It will absolutely destroy me. And in the Old Testament, we see that, and God is so holy that he has to be completely separated. Like he is in this place, not because he's bad, like the Holy of Holies in the temple that's built. There's a special place with a curtain that's as thick as the size of your hand. That's the place where God comes on earth. And so one priest goes in there. But even, you know, the thought is, this isn't actually in the Bible, but it's somewhat common knowledge that the priests would, well, some of this is in the Bible. The priests would wear robes with bells and pomegranates on the bottom of them. What's not in the Bible, but becomes common knowledge, is that they would also tie a rope around that priest's foot when he went in to perform sacrifices. And the reason the bells and pomegranates are on there is so that people outside can hear whether or not that priest is actually moving around. Because if priests go in there in an unholy fashion, they would die. And that's why the thought is that there were ropes tied around their legs so that they could get pulled out without having to go in. So not because God is a bad God or a mean God, but because he is so holy that no unholiness can be in his presence. And so in the Old Testament, there are all these laws. If you ever go through a read through the Bible Project, typically you start in Genesis and it's a bunch of great stories. You don't maybe understand quite all of them, but it's fun stories. Exodus it's fun at the beginning, and then you get this long wandering, and so you start to get kind of lost a little bit. And then you hit Leviticus and Numbers, and you give up because it's just like slogging through all these sets of rules.
Turns out Numbers has a lot of numbers.
It turns out a lot of numbers. Those laws, those purification rituals were what made people clean. And so a lot of those, you saw, if you touched things, you became unclean. It wasn't necessarily sinful. It was just because you were unclean, you cannot be in the presence of God. And so like if you were to touch a dead body, obviously people had to touch dead bodies because people died. They needed moved. If you touched a dead body, you became unclean. There was a purification ritual for that to make you clean so that you could again be in the presence of God. So when you touched things, if you were clean and you touched something unclean, you became unclean. Then Jesus comes onto the scene. And if you read through the first 6 chapters of Mark, especially like 4, 5, 6, you see Jesus touching a lot of unclean things. But what's interesting is Jesus flips the script. Instead of Jesus becoming unclean, he touches a demon in a Gentile area. He touches a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years, and then he touches a dead girl. All three of those things make Jesus unclean, or should make Jesus unclean, but he flips it. When Jesus touches them, instead of him becoming unclean, he makes them clean. And that's the beauty of what Jesus does for us. When we come to him with our uncleanness, he makes us clean. When we come to him in our impurity, he makes us pure. And so that's why a lot of times, and we do it a little bit differently at Trinity, but that's why a lot of church services start with the confession absolution. As we come into your presence, we confess our sins so that we might become clean. The way we do at Trinity, we do the confession absolution after the sermon so that we can hear God's word speak to us and we can respond directly to that word to confess our sins and hear that word of forgiveness. But that's one of the reasons that the confession absolution is at the beginning of the service for a lot of churches.
Now, to clarify that, because we're talking about sun, cleanliness, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The way that, and you correct me if I am way off the mark, the way that I've always envisioned it in my head when it comes to holiness is that because God is pure goodness, light, love, yep, all the adjectives, that our uncleanliness is not can't taint it, but it just gets evaporated from his, well, I don't want to use the word holiness because I'm trying to define holiness. So it's like,
well, and the way I look at it is like unholy and holy on its own, they cannot coexist. God's ultimate perfection is how he exists. We as sinful, stupid humans are the image of imperfection. Like they cannot, we need an advocate, a savior for those to coexist because in the book of Exodus, when Moses goes up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, he's up there for a substantial amount of time and he doesn't even look at the face of God. For that substantial amount of time, he's hiding behind a rock, like not even looking at God. And the closest he gets is God, it's described as turns around and Moses sees the back of God. Like that's as close as he gets. And when he comes off the mountain, his face glows so much that the Israelites demand that he cover his face because they can't look at him. So that is ultimate perfection versus our imperfection. So that's the reason why it was the Holy of Holies, why someone could potentially die in the Holy of Holies at the temple or the tabernacle is holy and unholy do not coexist. The holiness of God will literally wipe the unholiness away and not, it's pretty much an incineration. It cannot coexist.
So that's what I was trying to say is that because of our unholiness, I'm trying not to use
I know.
In the definition, which is.
So that's why I just say uncleanness. Our sinfulness.
Our sinfulness. But in my brain, when I think of sinfulness, I keep on thinking of this big oil stain that just sits.
Okay.
And when something that is holy or something that is pure, God, comes, that sinfulness just ceases to exist.
It's absorbed. Yeah.
I don't want to say absorbed.
No, not absorbed.
I want to say that it gets
absolutely
destroyed.
Destroyed, disintegrated, dissolved.
Which is the reason why we need sunglasses in front of Jesus to block the holiness from our oil slick. Man, this is really kind
of... Wow, we're throwing so many different metaphors into one and just seeing what sticks.
We can pull out the dad joke that we need sunglasses, S-O-N.
Oh, man, it was a sun seed. But the reason I want to bring all this up is because part of the reading today was the fact that he tears down all hostility. Yep. Hostility is caused by sinfulness.
Yep.
We can't have the lack of hostility without God.
Without that forgiveness.
And then because we can't have that without God, we need Jesus to do that. And so I'm just trying to connect all the dots together, going, this is the reason why we say, oh, well, Jesus can fix it. Does that make sense?
Well, and that's what, so Jesus, like, where's it? One, he brings peace, but he also is that peace. He makes that peace. He tears down the divide. It says the dividing wall of hostility. Now that was initially, that was what we're talking about there is
Gentiles
between and Jews and Gentiles, because they're both Christians. They're both trying to follow Jesus. Let me say it that way. But they have different ways of doing it because they came from different backgrounds. Basically, it's like, when two people get married and they come from different homes, they've got different ways of celebrating Christmas. Mm-hmm. The Jews and Gentiles had different ways of doing things, and they thought that their way was the right way and the only way. And if you don't do it that way, it's wrong. And so there was this hostility. But Jesus works towards, and the key word here is reconciliation. And that's what Jesus, he reconciles. Not only does he bring peace to reconcile Jews and Gentiles together, but he brings all of us peace to reconcile us and God to each other. Now, again, we're using a bunch of churchy words here today, and reconciliation is this idea of going back to a place. So a sin happens. I harm Stacy in some way. Yeah, I know. So sorry. I say, oh, I'm so sorry. You say,
just like that.
You say,
so sorry.
You say, it's okay. Sorry, it's okay.
Reconciliation.
But reconciliation, like I can hurt Stacy and I cannot care about it and she can still forgive me. Forgiveness takes forgiveness. Sorry.
Every time you say that in church now,
I hear all I can hear, I say it the same way. Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Every time, you know, if I hurt Stacy, I'm sorry. You can forgive me without me having to do anything. Forgiveness is just saying I'm not going to be the one to judge this. I'm not going to be the one to judge this action. That's what I was just going to say. The F word is, but that's, I'm not going to say that. That's what forgiveness. That's what forgiveness,
the forgiveness
is.
Word.
The forgiveness word. That's what that is. Is Stacy saying I'm not going to be the one to judge you? I'm going to let Jesus judge you, realizing that Jesus forgave that sin also. That takes one party, and it's the party of the one who has been hurt. It doesn't take any part on. I don't have to do anything for Stacy to forgive me. Reconciliation, I have to realize that I have done something wrong. I have to come back to her. I have to be willing to turn from my sin. And then we have to work together to move to a place. And this is what reconciliation is. Reconciliation is getting to a place where the relationship was before the sin occurred. So as though the sin had not occurred, that's what reconciliation is getting back to. So when Jesus reconciles us to God, what's happening is Jesus is getting us back to that place in the relationship with God before any sin took place. That's what Jesus is doing, that breaking down that dividing wall of hostility. He is getting us back to a place of really, as God sees us, perfection. Because that's the only way we can have a relationship with him is by being perfect. Even Jesus says, you must be perfect as I am perfect. But the only way we do that is Jesus forgiving that sin. He's the advocate for us. So we talk churchy theological.
Well, I think it's important that we, because we talk about these churchy words.
Yeah.
And sometimes me and my common folk. looking at you going, yeah, you say these words. But
what does it mean?
Yeah, it's like, okay, fantastic. You say these big fancy words and you're like, well, that makes everything better. Nope. I just want to make sure that we're explaining and trying to break that down. So therefore me and my pea brain can go, oh, that's what that means.
Yep.
And, that kind of jazz. But I think somebody else talk.
I can say that referring back to the Bible Project videos, I like those. I like how the explanation is drawn out for you. Granted, sometimes I focus on the wrong portion of what is in front of me.
I'll get this long email from Lacey about like, they went way like
the wineskins.
Yeah. That, and I'm like, Lacey, that was a 2-second
comment.
Not
important, but back to it. I guess for me, understanding Bible passages is sometimes very difficult. I'm like, I kind of understand what this means. But then these 2 or 3 individuals will break it down into baby steps and it makes it more digestible. You know, it's like, oh, I get that point of view from it. So having this conversation right now, the stuff that you've been bringing up, I'm like, oh, I remember that video. I remember asking those questions because I did. I'm like, how can you go into some place if you're unclean, but you need to be clean to go in there, but you can't? I remember having this conversation and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. So, you know, because then like people that would pick up, you know, like a mortician would pick up a dead body. I'm like, okay, they're doing a great thing, but now they're unclean. So now they have to go get unclean before they can go pick up another deceased individual and become dirty again.
Yeah. Well, I think what I'm trying to get back around to is, of course, you're talking about reflecting it and how to practice that in your daily lives. Mm-hmm. Because of Jesus' sacrifice and the fact that he's our sunglasses for the Holy Son. I know. Stacy looks at me like, what are you...
Where's he going with it?
Well, no, just so therefore we as as for our gratefulness, we should be emulating his example. So therefore, this is how we behave. And when I was listening to the reading and talking about hostility, I keep on thinking of course, today's day and world and how there's so much hostility between, it could be political party, it could be, yeah, it could be with even within Lutheran churches, even with, as you said, even with inside the actual physical one, yeah, church, the hostility of whether or not we should do this versus that versus this and that. And,
yeah,
you know, should we live, should we move with the left first, left foot first or the right foot first? I mean, what which one
it's
is
always,
it?
It's always left foot.
Yeah. Well, I disagree. We're going to have hostility now. That's, yeah, what I'm saying. So, yeah, so how do you break down that hostility is by emulating.
Yeah.
And so therefore practicing forgiveness, practicing
reconciliation.
Reconciliation.
Yep.
You know, those
that
things.
Word.
That's, yeah, what I'm trying to get to.
Yep. And
that's, now we can have our conversation.
Well, that's what, so Casey, you texted this, but just this idea, and you can talk about it if you want instead of me talking about it, but that Jesus created perfect unity. Jesus creates perfect unity, and we mess it up because the unity that we want is, yes, I want us all to get along as long as you agree with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that the example you used in your sermon on Sunday was John Lennon's Imagine, and each of us can see the brokenness and disgustingness in this world, and what hits at one of us is different than another. So John Lennon's answer for unity, he spelled out in that song. Well, number one, it lacked Jesus in it, so it's ultimately going to fail. But his version of unity wouldn't be my version. Just as I'm pretty sure all five of us in this room would have, if we were designing what unity looks like, it would be different. And it seems like lately the attitude for unification is all people either think like me or get out, get lost. Like, yeah, we don't need you. Like, it's like, well, that's not unity then.
Right.
What is your definition of unity then, since you brought that up? No, not you.
Jesus.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, good job, Casey.
Okay, but
I know.
A non-Jesus, yes, version of what,
yeah, there is no non-Jesus version. Well, I mean,
to look at what it means to be unified in Christ is the fact that in Christ, it doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, Democrat, Republican, cheer for the Chiefs, cheer for the Raiders. Like, all our differences are literally nothing. I mean, we are all sinners.
It doesn't
matter. Yeah.
Neither it Jew nor matter. Greek, slave, mm-hmm, nor free, man nor, like.
Yeah, like, there's no outranking or, you know, nationality, gender, whatever you want to look at. It doesn't add up in God's eyes. We are all at first sinful in his eyes. None of us can lift ourselves out of this pit. But when we are forgiven in Christ, we all needed him. No matter how awful or not awful our sins were, we all needed him. So if there's one uniting force, it's like we talked about, we're all awful human beings. So in the church, even though we love to make divisions for ourselves because we're sinful and stupid, we are all united in the fact that we are all forgiven and perfect in his eyes.
Yeah, and I think my question is more of the definition of what that is. And I think what I'm specifically asking, mm-hmm, what does that in our pea brains, as you say, mm-hmm, what does that look like after the second coming and we're living again with God? What does that look like?
That looks like...
best we can tell.
Well, yeah, I'm saying in our pea brain, not being able to comprehend anything. And I guarantee we're going to get it wrong.
Oh, absolutely. It looks like us
worshiping
God, but doing it while living in neighborhoods and going to work, and because there was work, just reminder, there was work before the fall, right? Mm-hmm. Adam was called to work the garden, and that was before the fall, but before the fall, the garden wasn't working against him.
But it wasn't, wasn't the work that we think of today,
right?
As tiring
It
was fulfilling.
It was fulfilling, yeah. And it was because it was fulfilling the purpose that God had placed for him. And so I don't think we need to look to the second coming, and we can.
I wanted to clarify that because I wanted to make sure we got to this point we're getting to,
yes,
now. Because just talking about that we're sinners and not there,
right?
I think we nailed that into the.
But what does it look like?
I say we do it more.
But that's what it'll look like. It, you know, when Jesus returns, we will. I mean, we'll do things. I won't need to be a pastor, but maybe I can be a cook. Even though we won't need to eat, but I like to make food. But like, so we will have purpose. I know, Blackstone, here we come. There will be purpose in what I do, and there will be purpose in what you do, and it will be filled with love and care for your neighbor. But where we can see that today is, you know, we read about it. Paul talks a lot about the body of Christ.
Yes.
And so unity in Christ does not mean all of us looking the same. It does not mean all of us thinking the same. It does not mean all of us doing the same thing. It talks about we need eyeballs. We need ears. We need feet. We need hands. We need armpits. And so just because you're an armpit doesn't mean you're less important.
Can I call you an armpit now?
You're the stinky
armpit. I feel like we're coming. Just because you're an armpit.
I'm the stinky armpit.
Well, no, be the stinky armpit with pride then and stink with all of your stinky.
Well, that actually is what I was trying to get to, because I do feel like everybody has a skill and a purpose.
Yeah.
And not everybody has those.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
We're all different.
God has made us different. And it's not like he's like, oh shoot, Adam and Eve sinned. So now y'all are going to be, now some of you are going to be accountants. Well, that's horrible. No. Hey, Paul.
I mean, as a musician, I can clarify this a little even more as a musician, is that I'm a bass player. My job is to essentially lay down the groove and the pulse of the song. Mm-hmm. The drummer is for timekeeping. The guitar player is just there to be flashy. No, just kidding. and then there's the singers, you know, they're just nuts. No, just, but the melody and harmony and all those other things.
Right.
The point is that you can take those things away and you can still have a song, a cappella music, acoustic music, whatever. Mm-hmm. But when you have everything kind of jamming together, mm-hmm. and I will say as a musician, there are times when everything is just clicking.
Yeah.
And everybody's doing their job and everybody is, and those are the most magical time as a musician to be playing. Now, anybody out there who's a musician who has ever had that moment, it is magical. It's just like, whoa, what just happened? And then you have the times that the guitar player is being too loud because he's showboating, and then everything falls apart because
guitar player. But,
it's always the guitar player.
Experience there, Paul?
No, I'm a bass player.
Well, so where I want to take this one step further, because I do know some about music, just a little bit.
No.
But it's the good music. I played violin in high school.
Oh my!
But
can you picture that?
I
played it too.
I was really good.
I
was not that good.
No, I played violin also.
I played violin and drums in high school. But there's a first violin section and there's a second violin section. Mm-hmm. They are the exact same instruments, but they are supposed to play different. And if you take the second violins out, which are often considered lesser, because you know the first violins are. They're the supporting. If you take them away, you lose a whole chunk of the
You lose the harmony orchestra. And you lose half of the melody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so even if you look the same, even if you're the, you know, you still have a different purpose.
Even if you're a tuba player.
Even if you're a tuba player.
Just joking. But that is actually when I envision unity, I think as a musician, I think of it in that way. So I guess the challenge is for you is like when you're thinking of unity, what do you think of? That's really the question I'm going back to.
I think of the survey that you all are going to get in the trunk line tomorrow. If you're members at Trinity, of how do we, I think of the church not being consumers, but I think of the church being contributors to the growth of the body of Christ. And this was actually weird. This was not planned. This was not part of the script that we don't write.
What? I would never go off script.
But there's a survey coming out tomorrow about basically how would you like to serve? What passions do you have? And how can God use your passions to grow the body of Christ and to serve other members of the body of Christ as well as our community? And that's how the body of Christ is. Like if you've got a passion for being a greeter and you love being up front, you've got a big smile, you want to you can make someone's day by just saying hi. You know, we had a couple of people come into church at after 10:30, like so after the church had started. One was my wife, but there were some others that came into church after church had started, and we had somebody there who just her job, she just wanted to make them feel as welcome as possible. So she welcomed them in. She talked. She actually then connected with Stacy later, helped Stacy get connected with this family. So all of these people working together. And when this family walked out, they're like, we'll be back. We felt loved. We felt connected. And we felt like you cared about us. And that was not a hard job. But for some of you, you're like, that sounds really intimidating to be someone who has to say hi to people and maybe say more than just hi. I don't think I could do that. Okay. Can you press space bar? Okay. Then you can be in the tech booth. Or can you put coffee grounds in a filter and pour water into a big circular jug and plug in a, you can help make people feel welcome at the church.
I didn't know how to do that. It was terrifying. Spill it. The percolator was terrifying. Oh, yeah.
Put the lid on the percolator. Oh, yeah. Yes. Just FYI, this is not from experience. Yes, it is. If you don't put the lid on a percolator,
it does not percolate.
It does percolate, but that's the problem.
It percolates everywhere.
It percolates everywhere. Everywhere.
Well, and I think a great example of different talents.
We don't want you to serve there anymore.
Yeah, so I got kicked out of that job because that was not my passion.
No percolating for you.
Stick to the pastoral duties.
Yeah.
Lost my rubber band.
And I think one of the the amazing areas, like you can see, that's kind of interesting. You know, Paul and I hang out a decent amount from,
once in a while.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, between podcasts and different areas. But Paul and I are similar in a number of ways, but how we serve
is so different.
Yes. At the same time, both of those things are accurate. And one of those differences is we both have a heart for service. But before I started Trinity, Paul was leading the youth group for a time.
Yes. It was the best time of my life.
Which is why I jumped in.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I think what you're trying to get to, though, is that even though I might have a lot of energy and might have it, it's not my
cup of
percolating tea.
Yes. Yeah. And you put me as lead singing, and no one will want to worship at Trinity.
And that's okay.
Well, exactly.
Aaron that, too. He thinks I should get up there and sing, and I think he's so full of baloney that he's floating. So.
You need to stand up there and smile by Aaron.
does baloney float?
I have no idea. I've never heard of science experiment.
So,
easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Some people serve, and they try it, and they get put in because somebody needed a body.
Yep.
And so I needed Casey to be the lead singer, and I put him in that position, and it was awful. And Casey decides, I can't serve in this way.
I'm done.
Serving is awful everywhere. Right. Yeah. I've tried to serve, and never mind. I won't go down that road.
But serving is not just, and also I think last week we really wanted to point out that it's not just
in the church. No.
Sitting down with somebody and having a cup of percolating tea while they go through some sort of crisis in your life, it's just as much as serving as putting pickles on somebody's sandwich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did Dad say last week?
Oh man,
it was so funny. Anyways, mowing the lawn. He was mowing the lawn. Just because his example last week was the fact that you could be mowing the lawn, and it's like, why are you taking care of your lawn so much? And then you could say, well, because
this is God's beautiful creation.
And that just causes, just by you keeping track,
taking care.
Yeah.
Words
are hard. Words are hard.
Been there.
And I think that is, I sometimes feel like that people think that their service is so small that it doesn't matter. Whereas I would, and I think Ed pointed this out last week, is like God is the God that we worship. He looks at the small things more than he looks at the big things. And he can really, really, the hairs on your head, Gerbs.
Two.
I like to use that example a lot. It's every single hair in your head. And to me, that is amazing.
Well, and that's where I go back to last week with that text. We might think it's insignificant, but God prepared that in advance. God prepared that from before the foundation that we were going to do what we think is insignificant, but is highly significant. So if you're a, and that's where it's so easy to make that, well, if you're a pastor or if you're a, and then you give the work at McDonald's to somehow like, well, if you've got a great job or if you've got a crappy job, then, but we always set these and you're like, well, but I do work at McDonald's and you're putting me on the crappy job side.
But
it's not right. But, and so whatever that's why I don't like list off the, I don't list off a bunch of jobs. Whatever you're doing,
it's important.
It's important. God has put you there for a reason. And it's not just to get a paycheck or it's not just to make your lawn look pretty. It's to do it for the Lord.
Now, do you think that sometimes the personality that we have is also part of that? For example, I'm very straightforward.
Yeah.
The individual, people who talk to me are definitely going to get exactly what I think.
Yeah.
And even if you didn't ask it.
Yeah.
And they're also going to get the truth as far as I
will give you.
Well, perceive. Well, I will water it down sometimes depending on how kind I feel like that moment. But
you need the candy.
But sometimes,
sugar-coated,
but sometimes I feel like that individuals might need that, and therefore I'm in place to be able to, you know, I mean, put this way. Sometimes the situations that I might be put into is like, well, that person needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Except for I won't know that.
Right.
So last week on the podcast, there was a question from a listener. That listener was me. Listener was Stacey. And Paul and Casey basically said, you're living in fear. You're living from fear. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that. But I've been thinking about it all week, and it's definitely true. So, yes, you will say what you think. And sometimes we need to hear that, even when we don't want to. I'm a sugarcoater. Tell me all the things I'm doing well. Mm-hmm. And here's what we can work on when you're ready. Mm. That's how I like to hear things. But
I like the Oreo cookie method. Compliment. Yep. Meet the issue that we need to fix. Compliment.
But sometimes we need that jarring.
Yeah.
You're going to drag this on forever unless you hear right now. Here's what's happening.
Yeah. And I'm a little bit, that's why we're different, because I don't do the cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, to me, it's like, and this is the way that I hope that anybody would treat me, is I treat those the way that you want to be treated. I'd rather you just be honest. Mm-hmm. Tell me what's going on. But constructively, I don't need to be mean about it. Yeah. I might be mean because I'm myself.
Boston.
You're from Boston.
I don't mean mean. Yeah. I don't mean to be mean. I mean to be truthful and honest. Mm-hmm. And yes, it might come out as, you know, forceful. But I would hope that would come back, because I don't find any use in hearing the cookie.
Yeah.
I have no use for it. I want to hear what I need to improve. If there's something wrong with the music or something was going on, I'd rather you just go, hey, this is going on. Please change it.
Hey, don't play boring songs.
This Sunday, there will be a boring song. I don't, but you know, and that's, of course, objective.
Yeah. Hey, no, absolutely.
So play more boring songs.
Yeah. Great. No, I don't know what to do. I'm so conflicted. But there is a time and place that somebody needs to hear Stacy talk to him. And sometimes it just needs to hear Paul say, you know, stop, stop.
Knock it off.
Knock it off. And this is way, you know, this is what's going on. And if you can't face it, then you need to, you know, open your eyes a little bit here. Yeah. I'm not, you know, and I'm guilty of that too. It's just because I say it like that doesn't mean that I'm also not going through that. Sometimes I need you guys to be like, hey, wake up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just because you can spout this stuff doesn't mean that you actually sometimes follow it. Imagine that. Hypocrites. I know. And I'm fully on board with the fact that I'm a hypocrite. I'm fully, you know.
But I don't think it's not hypocritical. Like, and that's where I think, like, it's realistic. If I say often, I am a poor, miserable sinner, this is how you should live. This is how I should live. I'm a poor, miserable sinner. And then I go and sin. That's not hypocritical. It's sinful, but it's not hypocritical. And that's where I think.
Is it the truth?
It is. Because I am a poor, miserable
sinner. So now give an example of hypocritical.
Hypocritical is, I'm perfect. Go live this way.
And then turn around.
Walk with Jesus like I
walk with Jesus. Yeah, walk with Jesus like I walk with Jesus, because I've got it all together.
And then behind closed
doors. And then have my whatever.
Your girlfriend on the side.
I mean.
No, there would be no need. Look at this face.
I mean, the example I've usually given is...
You're hiding that box of Girl Scout Thin Mints.
Yes.
That's just from the kids. That's not...
What cookies?
I mean, the example I give is telling someone not to smoke as you have a cigarette in your mouth.
Well, if somebody comes to me and says, oh, you know what, man, my stomach's just all busted up. And I'll be like, well, what do you drink throughout the day? Oh, Dr. Pepper. Do you drink water? Nope, just Dr. Pepper. Oh, well, it might be a good time to stop drinking Dr. Pepper, as I'm sitting here going, I wonder why my stomach hurts.
Dr. Pepper?
Dr. Pepper. You know.
Sponsored.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored. Sponsor.
No, it's the same thing, because you know in your mind how to fix it, how to change it, how to adjust it, but you won't.
But I think the hypocritical piece in there, though, is saying you should never drink Dr. Pepper. I never drink Dr. Pepper, and my stomach's great. And then you go and you start and drink Dr. Pepper while you've got a gut problem. You know what? The hypocritical piece is saying I never struggle with that. It's lying to people about
right.
and claiming to be
something you're not.
Something you're not. Better than you are.
our struggle.
Pointing it out and actually acknowledging that you also have the same struggle is not hypocritical.
No.
So there's this distinct.
It's I was just making sure I got that. There were multiple negatives in there, and I wanted to make sure that I answered that correctly. Like, that's why if you're Lutheran, you're not a hypocrite. Because every Sunday you come in and you say, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. Now, at the 10:30 service, we don't say those words, but we still confess our sins every week. But there are still times where we're hypocrites. I'm not saying that I'm never a hypocrite. But
it's just by the label of being a Christian, that does not make you a hypocrite.
Yes, because the thought behind that is, oh, you're a Christian, you're perfect, or you claim to be perfect, and you're not. I do not claim to be perfect. That's just silly. I've met me.
Well, Gerber, we think you're perfect.
Well, that's stupid. Jesus is.
Stop being so honest. Hurt my feelings.
Right between the eyes.
Paul.
Paul needed some sugar coating on that one.
Let's Oreo cookie this.
Paul, you did a great job on Friday. You're stop being stupid, but also thank you for playing on Sunday, especially since we had a baptism and there were lots of people there, and there were very exciting, upbeat service, and I appreciate that.
I do enjoy.
But don't
playing.
Be stupid. Don't oh be shoot! Stupid. I ended with some Oreo filling.
It's a missing cookie.
That one fell apart in the milk.
There you go.
No, I understand that. No, so going back to Jesus then tearing down the hostility in between all the stuff we just said, not being hypocritical, being able to reflect on not just God's word, but also reflecting on our actions and be able to say,
Poor, miserable sinner.
I'm a peaceful, miserable sinner. Yeah. I'm miserable, but I'm peaceful about.
Miserable sinner.
This is the reason why words are hard.
I had to have fun with that.
But really, the confession of absolution is the reflecting on that, going, I'm, but constantly doing that to ourselves. And,
absolutely.
And then.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for me to, like.
I have to.
In the middle of the prayer.
Now please confess your sins.
You do not have to wait for that.
So I have to pay you $1, right, for every sin? Is that the way it works?
Sure. It goes into the offering basket, and then we pay our electricity bill.
All right. So mainly is that reflecting and doing all this other stuff makes us want to emulate Jesus more, which then inherently, because of those actions, will tear down the wall that causes hostility.
No, Jesus tears down that wall.
But that's because we're trying to emulate.
We rebuild it. And so to emulate Jesus in this would be to not rebuild the wall. Or how we can best move forward is by not rebuilding the wall each week. Jesus tears it down. It's not our doing that tears down that wall of hostility. There's nothing that we can do to tear down the wall of hostility. And you're probably, I need to step back. I'm talking about the wall of hostility between us and God. You're talking about the wall of hostility between you and your neighbor.
Correct.
Yes. Yes. So we, and that's where.
Yeah, I'm not talking. Yeah. I understand that. I know. I can't do anything about that.
I know. It's to tear down that wall, to go offer forgiveness, to work towards reconciliation. But where we can work together is by being who God has called you to be, the best way that you can be it. So it doesn't matter what you do. You know, you guys talk about this. You don't have to be a professional church worker. You can be a professional church worker. That's great. You can also do something else. And this is where I'm not going to list the opposite, but you know, whatever. There's not an
not
opposite.
A church worker.
Yeah. You can go be a not church worker.
Common folk.
I'm good with opposite.
You can be a lay. You can go be an armpit, but be it really well. And live that out. Live that armpit calling out. And just do it.
Now the t-shirt.
Can
idea.
I just say,
just go and be an armpit.
I have been watching that show. I know with Amy Poehler and Nick something that making it where they have this crafts, and one of them, they had to make Halloween costumes was the last one I watched. So now I'm thinking like, oh, I could totally make myself an armpit costume for Halloween.
I would love to see that. Please do that.
Go be an armpit, but be an armpit for Jesus.
Boom.
And Hudson, thanks for doing tech booth on Saturday with Chris Davis and Peyton. Hudson needed that today.
That's that's the way that you serve Jesus.
Yep. He wanted to learn.
So for me, if I am, and I don't like to tell you what to do all out there, but if you're going to hear God's word, if you're going to reflect on it and put it into practice this week, my encouragement is to reflect on what has God given you the abilities, the talents, the love, the passion to do. How can you do it for Jesus to the best of your ability? Whether it's in your job, whether it's in a place of service to your community, to your church, whether it's just in your neighborhood, whether it's mowing your grass to the best of its ability, whatever it is, how can you do what God has called you, be who God has called you to be to the best of your ability, and then do it. Like I like to say, just do it.
Just do it.
Stop thinking about it. Stop going to committee meetings. Just do it. You don't need an armpit committee meeting. Just go do it.
Last night.
I know.
Yeah, stop going to the committee meetings.
That was a council meeting. That's different.
That's different. We need council. There's a lot of armpits in that group.
Bro, hey.
I'm the chief of armpits. Chief of armpits, though I be.
Oh my gosh, we have a chief armpit.
Yes, we do.
You guys could only see the images going around in my head.
No, I don't want to see those.
I was going to say, I'm not sure that we're missing. You
know, little walking. Well, we're missing out. But
all right. Well, you know, the thing is that I have Young Living underarm stuff. That's what it's called.
Underarm stuff. Stacy went natural.
Me too.
De-stinker.
Yeah, de-stinker. But it's peppermint and makes my underarms like tingle.
Cool. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I use the stuff with aluminium still.
Aluminium, like the aluminum.
Yeah.
What are you from Britain?
He likes to say it the British way.
Yeah. Because it sounds specialer. So, all right. So go be an armpit for Jesus.
You're praying after that one.
Okay. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for all of the gifts that you have given to each and every one of us. And you've given every single person special gifts in their communities, in their families, in their jobs, wherever they are. You have given them special things that only they can do. Only we can do in the places that you've placed us. And so I just pray that each and every person listening live, listening at a later date, that they would take it to heart to be who you have made them to be, to do what you have made them to do and do it for you, to do it with great excitement and passion and love for you, for their neighbors, and for all who cross their path. So please guide us, help us to break down the dividing wall of hostility in our communities so that all might know you and all might come to know that ultimate peace that only you give. In your name we pray, amen. I almost ended with peace we out, love you, peace. Jesus, because that's how we end our prayers at home. In your name we pray. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
I wouldn't have even noticed.
I know. It's just so part of who we are. Do. Yep.
Any announcements we want to talk about before we go?
August 15th. Come eat food and get blessed.
What month was that?
Mm-hmm. August 15th.
Augusto.
Augustus Gloop. There will be inflatables, activities. Did we mention the free food?
Food.
Yes, immediately following the late service.
At the three services, 6 o'clock Saturday, Sunday 8, and 10:30 in the morning, we will have lots going on in those services. It's where we'll rededicate our teaching staff for the year. I believe it's going to be at the 8 o'clock service. We'll be commissioning our two new teachers for service this upcoming year. We'll also be giving backpacks to third graders. So if you have a third grade student, Bibles to third grade students. If you have a third grade student and you haven't gotten that information from us, reach out. And we're sorry, but reach out to us, and we'd love to give your kid a Bible. And blessing all students, educators, anyone who's involved with school. We want to give you a special blessing on your upcoming year. So bring, just come worship, receive some blessings, and then go have fun fellowship after the 10:30 service with food and lots of good stuff, food games, food.
People.
Inflatables.
Food.
Yep.
Do you need socks for the inflatables?
You will need to lack shoes, definitely. But socks are going to be incredibly, incredibly appreciated and almost required.
There you go. Hey, there are some parents that don't know these things. So
his answer was always like, there's going to be a lack of shoes.
I first.
I put I put Casey on the spot, and we all know that that's not Casey's strong point sometimes. Yeah. So
I muddle through things.
Yeah, there we go.
We get somewhere. It's just there's it's like going through mud.
See,
lack of shoes.
Lack of shoes. So yes, all right, you will need socks.
You'll need your lack of shoes and your armpits. Join us.
No, not lack of armpits. We need those.
We need you. Go be an armpit for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. You know, without armpits, you don't have regulation of temperature.
I know. Mm-hmm. Armpits are very important. Go be an armpit for Jesus.
On that note,
peace out.
Bye.
Bye.
's for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782. Or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.